Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome. I have with me John Waller. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Absolutely. Perfect.
Thank you so much for being with us on the show. We always look to families, to artists, to authors, to inspire our listeners.
Well, kids, do you remember where we left off? I think it was Bicky's birthday party, and he had the biggest surprise of his life when his little brother jumped out of the box, and then Hod showed up at the birthday party.
Yes, and you know, just the fact that he was carrying donuts.
Uh-huh.
And so embarrassed.
Yes, and Bicky didn't know how to thank everyone, so he asked Mr. Drake to thank everyone for him. Listen, everyone, Biggie wants me to thank you all in words, but I think he has already thanked you in his own way, and nothing more needs to be said.
Everyone clapped and shouted,
Hooray for Bick!
After supper, with his huge birthday cake and 11 candles, sandwiches, donuts, apple cider, pies, cookies, and plenty of other goodies, Zeke Lager asked Biggie,
What did you think when you saw Tommy crawling out of that box?
Bicky threw his arms around Tommy and hugged him hard.
I thought I must be in heaven, really in heaven.
Then Bicky put on his new red jacket and cap. Over these, he put on his raincoat. He hung the water flask and the whistle from his shoulders and put the mouth organ in the raincoat pocket. Then he took his dinner pail in one hand and the stout cane in the other. Tommy put on his red jacket and cap, and the two boys danced about with delight while the guests shouted,
Happy birthday!
Aunt Mary said, Tommy, you are to be my major domo for a week.
What does she mean?
Tommy whispered to Bicky.
Why does she want me to be her donut?
Tell Tommy what you mean by a major donut, Aunt Mary. Bicky wasn't sure he knew himself. Aunt Mary laughed. No, you are to be my major domo. That means you will be my big helper to get food ready for the threshers this week.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Tommy's eyes sparkled.
I like that.
Then Bicky could delay no longer. He went to find Hod. He found him sitting on the floor in the dark corner by the sofa.
When did you decide to be my friend, Hod?
Bicky sat down beside him. Hod hung his head and dug his heels into Aunt Mary's rag carpet.
It was the day you and Jim helped me with the wagon and the load of oats,
he said without looking up.
I wanted to say thank you that day, but it seemed like I couldn't.
That's all right, Hod. I'm glad you came tonight, and those donuts were sure good.
Wait, Bicky.
Hod seemed to want to say something else.
You saw me in the manger today in the Nelson's barn. Why didn't you tattle on me?
Bicky felt his face flush and his words tumbled out in a rush.
Why should I do that? I wouldn't like anybody to do that to me.
After all the guests had gone and Bicky was about to take Tommy up to his room to bed, Uncle Alan said,
I guess you were surprised to see Hod and his folks here tonight.
Yes, I was,
Bicky said.
I thought Hod didn't like me or Jim either. Well, Bicky, I asked the Stones to come over tonight. You see, I was working with Hod's dad on the threshing rig today, and he was telling me about how lonely Hod is without any boys of his own age to have fun with. I asked him about some of the things Hod had done, like ringing that pig and stealing Zeke Lager's collars and double trees.
What did he say about that?
Well, Bicky, it seems that Hod didn't ring the pig because Hod's own pet pig was ringed, too, in the same way. It was a fellow from over in the southern part of the county. He's a real mean one, I guess.
What about Zeke Lager's stuff?
Zeke's son David came back that same night and took those things home. So no one stole them. You see, Bicky, Hod isn't so bad as we thought. Well, he did get scared and run off and leave his horses today when the hailstorm come up. Yes, he did,
Uncle Alan said.
And it was a cowardly and dangerous thing to do. But do you think if we shun Hod and refuse to be friendly with him, that he will become brave and fearless?
Bicky laughed.
No, of course not, Uncle Alan. I see what you mean. I'm sure Jim will, too. I've done some pretty shabby things a few times myself. We all have, Bicky, and it doesn't hurt us to remember some of those things. It makes us more patient with other people's faults.
Uncle Alan pulled off his shoes and set them by the stove.
It might be that if Hod had some good friends who were strong, brave, square dealers and straight shooters, he might do better.
Bicky and Tommy climbed the stairs to bed, and Bicky felt that it was one of the longest and most exciting days he'd ever lived, and one of the happiest. As he threw off his overalls, his jackknife dropped on the floor.
Where'd you get that knife?
Tommy asked. And right there and right then, Bicky knew the answer. It must have been Hod who had hung it on the corral gate.
I got it from one of my friends,
Bicky explained to Tommy, and he handed him the beautiful knife to examine. Then Bicky asked Tommy all about Mother and John and Pete Whitney and the swimming hole and even Grandpa Hall.
Mother has sold old Razorback and all her pigs,
Tommy said.
She said there is so much hog cholera around that she's afraid to eat pork anymore, so you'll never have any more trouble with Mrs. Razorback. Oh, I'm glad,
Bicky said.
I'd a lot rather herd cows than hogs, and I'd a lot rather have cows for my teachers than hogs. I guess hog teachers are about the lowest there are. I mean, if a person, well, a fella, has to be really mean to need one.
Yes, like in the Bible,
Tommy said.
Another thing,
Tommy yawned.
Mother says none of us are ever going to work every day of the week like you've been doing all summer. She says that after this we are going to rest on the Sabbath day and go to church.
Bicky tried to get Tommy to talk more, but he was too sleepy, and both boys slept soundly till morning. We're going to stop there, and we hope you'll come back next week. Maybe we can conclude the book. I don't know how much more we have to go, but I know I've certainly learned a lot from Bicky's Cow College. I would say welcome back to Homeschool Companion. Mm-hmm. So if you would just set the stage by telling us a little bit about your family and what has led you to this point in your life.
Well, you know, I've been married to my wife, Josie, for 15 years, and we have four children. We have our fifth on the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You know, children are a blessing, and, you know, when we go out and we talk about how the fact we have four kids and we have our fifth on the way, a lot of people kind of look at us sideways. And I say, you know what, children are a blessing, and we believe that, and that's why we're having so many, you know. But, you know, we've been in ministry. I've been doing the ministry that I do with music for about 20 years now. My calling is to put the Word of God to music.
So you write.
I write songs.
Well as,
yeah, I write songs and sing and travel and I have a band and you know. But my I feel like my calling is to put the truth that sets people free in music form, where it kind of gets in your head and you can't get it out. You know, because Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So that's kind of what we do in ministry. We travel together as a family, so we homeschool our kids, and so it's just an exciting thing to be able to do what God's called you to do and have fun doing it.
It says that, I'm reading this little talking points here, it says that you started your Christian music career as the frontman of a popular Christian band. Can you share with us?
Yeah, I was in a band. It was called According to John. Of course, my name's John, but also it was based on the book, The Gospel According to John. And but we were together.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so it was kind of a dual meaning there. But I was with that band for 7 years, and then the band broke up. I became a worship pastor, moved to Colorado for about 4 years, and then started writing songs for my church, and really got in touch with what, you know, God's heart is in His body and in the local church. And serving my local church. And so my songs that came out of that, God used that to open a door for a national platform. And I ended up getting signed under the Provident label group and released my first album, The Blessings, a few years ago. And then I had a song on that album about waiting on the Lord, which I, as many years as I had to wait on God to see a dream become reality, I knew what waiting was about. So I wrote a song called While I'm Waiting. And then While I'm Waiting ended up in the movie called Fireproof. So it's just neat how God, you know, makes a way, and we make our plans, but He directs our steps.
You can't you can't achieve anything without going through the fiery furnace. What was the fiery furnace for you?
You know, the fiery furnace for me was just the Lord taking me through the process of dying to my dream. Because, you know, you look at Joseph and the dream that he had, and then all that he went through before he actually saw that dream realized. Moses and what God called him to do took him to the wilderness for 40 years to break him down and to rid him of himself. So for me, the fiery furnace is just being broken. And it took me so many years for God to get me to a place, you know, where I wasn't dependent any longer on my abilities and my talents, completely dependent upon him and realizing that I don't move unless the Lord goes ahead of me, you know, and I'm not going to lean on my abilities because I can't do what he's called me to do except by the power of his spirit.
You have four children and five on the way.
Yeah.
And the...
Hopefully just the fifth on the way, but not five more.
Fifth on the way. That's right. Well,
five more on the way.
Bible says that having a quiver full is certainly a blessing. You can stand with the enemies at the gate when
that's
you
right.
have a quiver full. And
that's right.
You can stand tall. These children, how have you helped their spiritual journey, knowing, you know, you've already gone this far on the path? How do you help them?
Well, part of how we help our kids is we homeschool, keep them close to us. We train them. My son and I.
What are the ages of your?
Well, my oldest is 13. My son.
That's a very important age.
And so with him, he and I, we go through the Proverbs together. And we just read them together, and we pray, Lord, give us wisdom. You said in James that if we lack wisdom, we can ask. And so we'll do that together. Ask the Lord for wisdom, and then we'll just go through a proverb a day, a chapter a day, and we'll read through it and we'll talk about it. He'll have things that he gets and he explains to me, and then vice versa. And I don't act like I got it all together with my son. He knows that I don't. And I tell him that I need wisdom just like he needs wisdom. And I asked God to give me wisdom as a parent and a father right there in front of him. And he sees that I make myself vulnerable. And so we just do life together. And for us, one of the most important things about homeschooling is that we're not turning our kids over to the world system to train them up. We keep them close to our, and we train them, you know, and we determine what their education is going to look like, and how the Word of God is interwoven in all of the subjects that we do with homeschool.
That is such a great testament. There are families that are listening that don't know if they should homeschool their children or if they should send them to a traditional school, and this kind of testimony can help them make a decision.
Sure.
Did you start out at the beginning saying we're going to homeschool our children, or how
No.
did you come to that conclusion?
Well, my wife was a teacher in the public school system for a number of years, and so and our oldest was able to go to the same school where she taught, and so she was able to kind of keep a close eye on him. But when we lived in Colorado, I finally signed a record deal. We moved back to Georgia. I knew I was going to be traveling a good bit. I was going to be going on tour with Casting Crowns right off the bat, and so we're like, all right, if we're going to be flexible to travel, so that it started out with flexibility that we'd have no flexibility in the public school system. But then we realized that it was a greater purpose to homeschool our kids. And so I said the Lord's really retrained us in how our whole thinking on school and homeschool and why we're doing it. It's more than just flexibility. It's so that we can determine what our kids are learning, you know, and how their minds are being programmed according to the Word of God or not. So we choose according to the Word of God.
Now, let's talk about your latest album, It's As For Me In My House, which seems very appropriate. In fact,
right.
if you don't mind, I'd like to use that as the title of this show, As For Me In My House.
Absolutely.
And it's the release date is May 3, 2011. Are you on track for that
Absolutely.
Release date?
Looking forward to that.
And you have some of these titles here. If I can read them, you can tell me the story behind the song, Our Reigns Here.
That's a typo. Our God Reigns Here.
Our God Reigns Here.
We'll have to fix that. Our God Reigns Here. I wrote it in the country in Wales. I was on a mission trip there, and I sensed a darkness there, a spiritual oppression. We were in one town in particular, and they had a tragedy back in the 60s in the town where a landslide wiped out an entire elementary school and killed so many young children and teachers. And ever since that tragedy, this town had never gotten gotten over it. And so there's been multiple suicides every year of teenagers taking their own lives. And somebody said about this particular town that the spirit of death reigns over this town, and they've never gotten over the tragedy. Immediately, that didn't sit well with me. And I realized that we have authority over the enemy. God's given
Amen.
Us all power and authority over the enemy. And the Bible says we can trample on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. And so I'm like, well, we just have to come against that spirit and take authority over mm-hmm. that spirit. And so I wrote this song, Our God Reigns Here, which actually comes against spirits of fear, spirits of death, spirits of addiction, spirits of anxiety, spirits of depression. The Lord delivered me from 20 years battle of depression and medication, and I'm 7 years ago. And so I know that we have authority over these spirits. And so the verses address the spirits. Chorus gives the answer. Our God reigns here, and we claim this ground in Jesus' name.
Our God reigns here. I love that. So many times, you know, like the FBI, when they're trained to look for counterfeit, they're not allowed to look at counterfeit.
Right.
They look at the genuine article, and I think we need to focus on God.
Right.
Just that's what, don't rent room in our head for anything else. Okay, as for me and my house, did you write that song?
I did, which is based on Joshua 24:15. I came to a point in my life where I realized that, and I mentioned my dreams earlier, dreams of music and doing music ministry and being an artist. And so for so many years, you know, of course, you know, I said it was because of ministry, but really the gift of music and Christian music even became an idol in my life. And that idol took precedence over God and my love for Him. And so I came to a place where I had to realize that it was an idol and it needed to come down, and that I needed to surrender that and realize that music was never going to satisfy me. Success would never satisfy me. And so I wrote that as I was reading about Joshua and how he drew a line in the sand right before he died. And of course, he served the Lord all his life. And he was one of two who went into the Promised Land, mm-hmm. who left Egypt. There's only he and Caleb, the only ones that went into the Promised Land. He said, serving the Lord is difficult, seems difficult for you, then choose this day whom you will serve, but whether the gods of the Amorites or the gods that your forefathers served on the other side of the river, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I came to a place where I said, all right, I have to draw a line in the sand. Every idol in my life has to come down, and I have to say, as a father and a husband, I'm going to lead my family, and we are going to serve the Lord.
So you are saying, I just have to repeat this again, that ministry can become someone's idol. That
Absolutely.
Serving God can be, that reading Bible can become an idol if you've taken the relationship with Jesus Christ out of it.
It becomes, you know, a religion, a religious in form. Or the Bible talks about in the last days there will be a form of godliness, but it denies the power therein. We will abandon our first love. And so we can do, the work of God can become an idol in and of itself. You know, and that's, you know, that's true of anybody in ministry and pastors who the church and growing the church and the success of ministry becomes an idol.
Yes. Man of the Valley. That's an interesting title.
I can sum that up in a couple of lines. Most of my story was down in the valley. That's where my story was written. We don't live on the mountaintop. We love the mountaintop experiences in life. That's not what defines our character. It is the time it is the time in the valley, in the wilderness. And so that's what that song's all about, and people relate to it.
They really do. In the valley, he restoreth my soul. But, you know, Utmost for His Highest, that devotional brings that out over and over again, that we tend to focus on the high peaks and then we live the rest of our lives always going back there,
trying to get back there.
Yes.
Right.
Great. Now what about the marriage prayer? Why'd you write that song?
You know, Patrick Morley, well-known author, his most famous book is The Man in the Mirror. I met him at Focus on the Family, and we hit it off immediately, but he gave me several of his books, and one book he wrote was called The Marriage Prayer. And I was reading it, and it's based on this prayer where that a husband prays for his wife. It's a daily prayer, very simple, and a prayer that the wife prays for the husband. And basically, it's that number one, that I will love you, God, more than I love her, so that I can love her more than anyone else, you know, that I can love her the way she needs to be loved. And I thought, this is a brilliant prayer. It needs to be put to music. And so I adapted that prayer to music, and it's actually a duet with my wife and I. Josie is actually the one singing the female part of the prayer.
And does he know that you've written this song?
Oh, yeah. I just I recently went down and did a leadership summit that he puts on in Orlando, and she and I got to perform the song down there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Now, the song called Fallen.
Yeah.
That sounds...
Yeah, the title's almost... It's actually Fallen for Intimate Love. It's about falling into intimate love with the Lord, you know?
Wow.
And it's like... in fact, the pre-chorus says... so if I'm not singing it, sometimes I can't think of the words.
Go ahead and sing it. We'd love for you to sing it.
Well, it talks about standing on the... It's like standing on the edge of this cliff, but never really diving in. His love... You know, the Bible says he's given us power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and deep and long and high is his love, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. But too often we never want to dive in, where we stand on the edge of the shore and it's an ocean. And I was just telling the Lord, I just want to dive in. I want to truly know your love.
John Waller, and he is recently, well, he's a musician. I forgot to ask what instruments you play.
I just play guitar. You know,
guitar, and you sing and you write.
Sing and write. And
he has this CD coming out called As For Me and My House. It's under the City of Peace Media label, and it will be released May 3, 2011. Share with our listeners where they can go to get this get more stuff.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, even today, the listeners can go to johnwallermusic.com, and they can download the song As For Me and My House for free. They can watch the video that we did. We did a video that really captures what this song is all about. It shows what are the modern day idols that men are struggling with. You know, the addictions that men are falling into that are keeping them from being the leaders of their home. And then they can sign what is a scroll. It's called the Joshua 24:15 Declaration. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will draw a line in the sand. And they can sign their name on the scroll. So far, we have almost 2,000 names.
Fantastic.
The video is going viral. And then they can hit a button that says share this with the world, and they can blast it out to Facebook, Twitter, or email. But johnwallermusic.com. And then the album, you know, of course, they can get it on iTunes as soon as it comes out on May 3rd, or any Christian bookstore or Target or Walmart. So it'll be available everywhere starting May 3rd.
Well, as we come to the conclusion of our show, I want to thank you so much, John, for taking this time to talk to us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
What a blessing to our listeners. And I'm going to go tonight and make sure that I tweet it out
yeah,
tonight.
Yeah, sign the declaration tonight.
I just love the internet, because we can get out the good news of Jesus Christ. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless you.
Oh, thank you. God bless you. And I receive that blessing.
As we end this section of our program, we're going to hear a selection from John Waller's album. The title song is As For Me and My House, and that is from his album, As For Me and My House. You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. We would also like to thank our production staff and the various networks for making this broadcast possible. For more information, go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com. That's myhomeschoolcompanion.com.
I'm done building my own kingdom. Idol.